Well, good morning, everybody. I hope everybody's had a good week last week and having a good weekend. We welcome you to worship service here this morning. Again, we miss everybody, and we're looking forward to seeing everybody real soon. Kevin and I are working out some details, and hopefully we'll be able to start having services in person here maybe in a few weeks. But as we get more details of that, we will be communicating with everybody what we'll be doing. In the meantime, here this morning, we will go to God in worship Him in spirit and in truth. And before we get started, if you would, let's take this time and go to God in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for all that you've done for us. We're thankful for this time that we can join in our thoughts and in our hearts as we praise you in song, praise you in all that we do. That we partake of the Lord's Supper, that we study from your word. And thank you for the opportunity we have to be able to share in this time, whether it's through the video or through our audio, whatever it is, dear Lord, we're thankful that so many can join together as we worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask that you please always be with all of us as we continue to struggle with all the things that we might be having to deal with, dear Lord. Please be with all of our loved ones that are dealing with either health issues or just issues of maybe depression or loneliness, whatever it is, or our loved ones that have family members or other loved ones that might be dealing with issues. Please be with all of them and help us always to be mindful and keep all those in our prayers, dear Lord. Always help us to keep in memory all that you do for us, all that you mean to us, because all things come from you, dear Lord. And help us to raise our voices here this morning in praise to you, dear Lord. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. In Psalm 45, verses 1 and then verse 17, my heart overflows with a pleasing theme. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the generations will praise you forever and ever. I was telling Bobby here this morning that I had a whole list of songs all ready for today, and then when I got up this morning, I took a cue from what he's been doing here the last couple weeks, and I had a whole nother thought. And this being Memorial Day weekend, there's many things that we keep in memory. You see a lot of activities, even though many of them might be canceled, but still a lot of other activities going on to remember a great many things and what a great many people have done for us over the years for our freedoms, for our country, or whatever it might be. This is always a time on the calendar that we take and set aside to remember all the things that have been done for us in this country and for our lives. So I'd like to sing some songs here today to help us keep in memory all that God has done for us, all the blessings that we have, and the love that has been shown for us. So that's really what we're going to be singing about, to keep in memory the love, the blessings, and the home that's been prepared for us by our God and Father in heaven. In 1 John 4:16, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Truly, God's love is great, and he loves us so much, and we should always remember that and have that in our thoughts. So our first song this morning is going to be God is Love. For this song, we're going to be singing the three verses and then the chorus once at the end. Let's sing.
Come, let us all unite to sing God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises bring. God is love. Let every soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make, and sing with us for Jesus' sake, for God is love. Oh, tell to earth, remote redemption found. God is love. His blood has washed our sins away. His Spirit turned our night to day. And now we can rejoice to say that God is love. How happy is our portion here. God is love. His promises our spirit cheer. God is love. He is our sun and shield by day, our help, our hope, our strength and stay. He will be with us all the way. Our God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love.
Amen. In Psalm 40 and verse 5, many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them. They are more than can be told or numbered. Truly, God loves us, and truly, God blesses us with great and many blessings. So many that there is no way that we can count. Doesn't mean that we can't try. It's always good to be mindful and remember all that we are blessed with. We're blessed with this technology that we can join again in our thoughts and our hearts as we praise our Lord here on the first day of the week. But when we all can meet again, we'll be thankful for the blessing that we can do that. But all the blessings that we have every day, every breath of our life is truly a blessing. So we need to always be mindful and remember all that God has blessed us with. So our next song is going to be Count Your Many Blessings. We're going to sing the first and the third verse. Let's sing.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
In Psalm 55 and verse 6, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. There are so many great heaven songs that we can sing, but the song we're going to be singing next is I'll Fly Away. We keep in mind and in memory all that God has done for us, the love that he's shown for us. We need to keep in memory that he has prepared a place for us. We have heaven prepared for us. And what a great blessing that is. We know when we follow his commandments and do his will, we have that hope of heaven waiting for us. And that we can say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I would fly away and be at rest. So, our song before Brother Bobby's lesson will be I'll Fly Away. And we'll be singing the first and the last verse. Let's sing.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away, fly away. To a home on God's celestial shore, I'll fly away, fly away. I'll fly away, fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away, fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away, fly away. To a land where joy shall never end, I'll fly away, fly away.
Turn the service over to Brother Bobby.
Thank you, Brother Tim, and good morning to everybody. As Tim mentioned a while ago, there are changes that have been made for this morning, as was 2 weeks ago. I mentioned the fact that I got up on Sunday morning and told my son-in-law, well, I've decided to change my sermon. What do you think about that? Well, last night, I went to bed. I'd been working all the week on my lesson for today. Went to bed, just didn't feel right. I just wasn't that satisfied with what was going on. I laid there in the bed for a little bit, and I got to thinking, I thought, well, this is what I need to be preaching on. So I got up, went to my desk, and sat there for 15 or 20 minutes and got these things together that we're talking about this morning. And I want you to take your Bible and turn with me from place to place. There's about six or seven different things that we're going to be talking about, relatively short things. I hope they don't go over time. So let's open your Bible. First of all, we're going to open the Bible to Matthew chapter 16. And in Matthew chapter 16, we'll pick up our reading there with about verse 13 in just a moment. Matthew chapter 16 and about the 13th verse. Let me get turned there. And let me say, I appreciate very much the opportunity to come into your home by means of the electronic system that we're using and be able to visit with you in your home, and for you to take the time to be with us and to study with us. We appreciate that very much. Until the time in which we can be together, of course, we're looking forward to the time that we can be together again and we can talk with one another and hug one another and things like we normally do, show our love for one another. And we're looking forward to that time when it does come. But until it does, then we'll do the best we can and come into your home by means of the electronic system that we're using this morning. Now, if you have your Bible open to Matthew chapter 16, let's begin reading with the 13th verse. Now, most all these verses, these passages that we'll be noting this morning, are not something that's new. They're old, familiar passages that all of us have read time and time again. So let's read again. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, Elias, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Then Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now today, we've been talking about for some time now the unusual things of the Bible, the unbelievable things of the Bible. We talked about God and his role in creation and different things, that how unbelievable it was. We talked about Jesus Christ and the miracles that he did, the teaching that he did, and how unbelievable that that was. Well, today I want to talk about the disciples of Christ, the apostles of Christ, and how unbelievable that they were. And we're going to talk about Peter. You may have already suspected that as we read from this passage. In the 13th verse, it talks about Jesus coming into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And, of course, there was different opinions as to who he was. One would say that he was Elias. One would say that he was Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Some would say that he was John the Baptist. Herod especially said it was John the Baptist because he had beheaded John, and he thought John had come back in spirit. But Jesus asked the question to them, a personal question. He said, "But who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And it was Peter who spoke up. Peter seemed to be the one. I don't know whether he was designated as a spokesman for the crowd or whether he was just the one that spoke up kind of off the cuff. But he was the one usually that did the speaking. And here he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." And then he said this confession that he made upon the confession that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that his church would be built upon that. And he would give Peter and then the apostles, of course, the keys to the kingdom. And whatsoever they should bind on earth would be bound in heaven, and whatever they loosed on earth would be loosed in heaven. So here we have Peter. We're introducing Peter now in our lesson today, and that's what we want to talk about. Now, in my Bible, just across the page on chapter 17 and beginning with verse 1, we have Peter again that's mentioned here. There's about some six or seven times he's mentioned in the first part of these books. And then the latter part, we'll talk about Peter. We'll go to the book of Acts and notice a number of the things that he did there. As a matter of fact, that's where I intended to start my lesson this morning, was Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John went up into the temple to pray. But we'll get to that later. Now, in chapter 17 of the book of Matthew, beginning with verse 1, "After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into a high mountain, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only." Now, there was no doubt in their mind then who it was that was the one that was to speak unto them. It was not Moses. It was not Elijah. But it was Jesus Christ himself that was the one that they were to listen to in this particular time. But you notice it was Peter again who said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us build 3 tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Of course, all 3 dispensations of time are represented here in this incident that we're talking about. There was the Mosaic Law. First of all, there was Elijah. That was the time of the patriarchs. And so here we have the patriarchal dispensation, the Mosaical dispensation, and then that of Jesus Christ that is beginning to be represented here in this particular place. And God said, "It is my Son that you are to listen to." So Peter was the one who spoke again here on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, if you'll turn over to the book of, in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, I want us to notice another thing or two that happened with Peter here. In Matthew chapter 26, down about verse 36 of this chapter, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, that was James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy, and said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now this tells us something about Peter. Jesus Christ said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He said, the spirit indeed is strong, but the flesh is weak. Now he went on in verse 42, and he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. So here was the time when Jesus Christ was about to be betrayed, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. We remember that in the prayers that Jesus prayed, that if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Shows that Jesus Christ was willing to suffer on the cross, not for his own sins, because he had no sin, but he suffered for my sins and for your sins. And I don't think we appreciate that enough when we think about how much Jesus did for us and how that he suffered on the cross, that we might have remission of our sins. What love he showed to us to die on the cross for us. What love God showed to us to send his only Son into the world to be a Savior, to be a sacrifice for us, for our sins. And what a wonderful thing this was, that God loved us enough to make provisions that we could have our sins remitted. Now back up with me in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. We started reading with verse 36. I want to go back and read verse 34 and 5. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. He was talking to Peter here. If we back up to verse 33, it says, Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And then down at verse 35, Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Now here was Peter, who thought he was strong enough to even die with the Lord, and told the Lord that even though all would deny him, that he would never deny him, that he would die with him. Now if you'll turn with me on over a little bit further in this chapter, you'll find that that Peter did, in fact, as Jesus said, deny him. Notice now down about verse 69 of chapter 26. Now Peter sat within the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him, said to them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus, also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words that Jesus had said unto him, Before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now here was Peter. A lot of the things that Peter did was great. They were good. There were other things he did were mistakes. He made mistakes just like we do. He was human. We're human. And at the best we do make mistakes, and we have to repent of those wrongs that we do and ask God to forgive us. And that's exactly what Peter did here. When he realized how wrong he was, he went out and wept bitterly. And I'm not surprised, wouldn't be surprised, that this is one of the things that helped him be as strong as he was later on in his life. Because later on, he could be beaten, he could be put in prison, he could be threatened, and his life and all this kind of thing. And yet he did not allow that to keep him from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in one time when they, over in Acts chapter 5, I guess toward the end of the fifth chapter, when they'd been put in prison and they brought them, they beat them and released them, and they went away from the council rejoicing that they'd been worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. So this is Peter then. He made his mistakes. Just like here, he denied the Lord. The Lord knew that he would and told Peter that he would. But Peter said, "No, Lord, I'll never deny you. Even though everybody else does, I'll not deny you." But he denied him three times, as was said here in Matthew chapter 26. Now, I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 2 now for just a moment. You remember how that Jesus said in Matthew 16, when we talked about in verse 13 there, when he came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he said to Peter that I will, upon this rock, upon this confession that you made, I will build my church. In Acts chapter 2, we have record of that church coming into existence. Jesus had told his apostles in Acts chapter 1 that they were to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high, that the power would come upon them and they would be witnesses of him in Judea and in Samaria and the other most parts of the world. Now let's begin reading with Acts chapter 2. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation unto heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard heard them speak in his own language wherein he was born." And, of course, it goes on in verse 7 to mention all the people that were there. "They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue in wherein we were born?" Then he names the Parthians and the Medes and the Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and parts of Libya and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful words of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Now notice verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken unto my word. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he goes on to talk about the prophecy that Joel made, of how that the Spirit would be poured out upon them. So it was Peter who stood up on the day of Pentecost. And then if you read in the next several verses in Acts chapter 2, you'll find that it was Peter's sermon that's recorded here in Acts chapter 2 that he preached to these people, and came down to the point to where he accused them of crucifying the Son of God. And they were pricked in their hearts and said unto him, what must we do? Go with me now on over to about verse 36. He said, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And down in verse 41 it says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayer. And down at verse 47 of that chapter, the last verse, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This is the first reference that we have of the church being in existence. And here, at the last part of Acts chapter 2, we have where God added to the church daily such as were being saved. So here was Peter then at the beginning when the church came into existence, and he was one of the ones who preached the first gospel sermon to people that they might know what to do in order to have their sins remitted. I'm going to do one more shortly, and then we'll bring our lesson to a close today. Over in the book of Acts, in chapter 10, in the book of Acts, we have Peter again highlighted, and I want us to notice that in our lesson this morning. Beginning with verse 1 of chapter 10 of the book of Acts. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band, which is called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house and gave much alms unto the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms have come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you ought to do. And when the angel had spoken unto Cornelius when he left, departed, then he called two of his household servants and devout soldier and told them what all had happened and sent them to Joppa that they might find Peter, that he would come and tell him words that he needed to know in order that he might be saved. Here was a devout man, one who was seeking to know the truth. And here he's the angel of the Lord tells him to send to Joppa and bring Peter back. Now, whenever these men were on their way, then God knew that Peter needed a lesson. And so Peter went up on the housetop to pray. And it was about the sixth hour, which would have been about 12 o'clock. And he was hungry, and he fell into a trance and while he was waiting to eat. And here was this vision that God showed him. It was kind of like a sheet that was knit before corners. It was let down from the heavens before Peter. And when it opened up, there was all kind of four-footed beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And a voice said, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. And Peter said, Not so, Lord, because nothing common or unclean has ever entered into my mouth. Then there was the vision from God again, which spoke unto Peter and said, Peter, whatever God has cleansed, don't call common or unclean. And what this was letting Peter know that the Gentiles now had been accepted into the gospel, and they were to be accepted even as the Jews. And so this was done three times, and by the time it was ended, then these men had come to the door searching for Peter. And God told Peter, said, There's three men searching for you. Go down and go with them. Don't hesitate because I've sent them here. And so when they came, Peter had questioned them as to why they came, and they told him about Cornelius and how the angel had sent him. And so he went with them to where Cornelius lived. And so when they got there, Cornelius had gathered all of his kinfolks and close friends to where they could hear what Peter had to say too. He thought if Peter had something important for him to hear, it was important for his people to hear as well. In verse 44 of Acts chapter 10, it says, While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So here now is the first Gentile to be converted into the cause of Christ. And we'll note, if you go on and read a few chapters on down, that Peter and others were kind of called in on the carpet by the church at Jerusalem because he went to a Gentile. You know, the Jewish law forbid them to go speak to a Gentile, to visit in their house, to eat with them, to anything that was associated with them in any way, because the Gentiles were unclean as far as the Jews were concerned. So this is God's way of showing that now, don't call the Gentiles unclean. The gospel is for everybody. He told his disciples, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that command is still true for me today, and it's true for you. And we need to preach the gospel to everybody. It doesn't matter what color the skin, what nation they're from, the gospel is for all. And let us deliver it as best we can. May God bless you.
like to thank Brother Bobby for another great lesson. I'd like to take this time in our service this morning to help prepare our minds for partaking of the Lord's Supper. And we sang a little bit this morning about all the things that we need to keep in remembrance, all that we've been blessed with, God's love for us, and the home prepared for us. And one thing that we definitely need to never forget, but always keep in memory, is the sacrifice that was made for us. Christ's death as he hung upon the cross for us. So help prepare minds for taking the Lord's Supper. We're going to sing the song, Lead Me to Calvary. And then that song, several times, it makes the words of the song say, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget the love that was shown for me. We should never forget, but always keep in memory, not just on Sunday when we partake of this, but every day, as we should be thankful for what Christ did for us and the sacrifice that he made for us. So we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth verse of the song, Lead Me to Calvary.
Let's sing. King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget tomb where thou was laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light array guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thy daily my cross for thee, even the cup of grief to share, thou hast poured all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Good morning. As we prepare to gather around thy table, just again, let me express my wishes of missing everybody, and hopefully in a couple of weeks we can again gather together as a group and prepare and take of the Lord's Supper as one family. But until then, we'll come to you this morning through by means of our electronic devices and hope that all will participate with us in the communion this morning. At the end of chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews reminds us that the righteous lives by faith, not by that which can be seen. It's the idea that those who endure, those who keep the faith, will preserve their souls. And then he's going to go down into chapter 11, and he's going to confidently support this through God's inspired word. And he's going to tell us, and he's going to show us what faith looks like. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 11, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. Faith is the basis of the whole Christian life. It's the substructure. It's the foundation. If you think about a foundation, it supports all the different pillars of a building. Our foundation, supporting our hope in Christ. Faith is the basis for everything which we hope for, not just in this life, but also in the life that is to come. And it also involves a confident action in response to what God has made known through His Word. Faith looks upward. It looks away from the trouble or the things of this world, and it makes us look forward to those things that are unseen, those unseen things above. You know, we sing songs just like we sang this morning, "I'll Fly Away." We have many other songs that we sing that remind us, and it encourages us to keep our eyes on the unseen reward. Faith is about having a confidence that the promises which have been given by God and the things which we cannot see will actually happen. That picture of faith is really seen in the example provided in verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Look around. You're going to see those things which are man-made. You're going to see roads. You're going to see houses. You may see automobiles. But what about the day and the night? What about the stars and the moons, the sun? Our God is the master creator, a truth that the faithful believe, even though we're not there when God created all. What we cannot forget is that it is by faith that people are approved of God. And he goes on in the following verses in chapter 11, and he names Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Joshua, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel. All are mentioned in chapter 11 as being faithful to God. What exactly did these people do to deserve this recognition? They put their undivided confidence in God. In spite of the trials, in spite of all the difficulties they faced in life, they triumphed because they trusted in God. They believed in the promises of God. They depended upon God's word, and they were faithful to God in their actions. They were not perfect. We're not perfect. But we can be faithful and we can understand what God has in store for us if we're willing to do those things that God has placed in His Word. We gather around the table this morning to show that we have confidence in our faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We believe that God exists despite never seeing God. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We believe that God loved us enough that He sent His Son. That He sent His Son to die on a cruel cross. That He sent His Son to die for us. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. We believe that Christ lived a sin-free life. That He died on that cruel cross. And that He was resurrected and is sitting at the right hand of God. Our faith shows that our attention is not here on those things of this world. It is understanding that we serve God not for what we will receive right now. It confidently displays that we believe that God will reward those who sincerely seek Him. We gather around the table this morning because faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen.
The
These elements represent the body and the blood of Christ. We'll partake of these elements, remembering the sacrifice that he made for us. And even though that we were not there, we can have the assurance that they did occur. And we can have the assurance that God has provided through Christ a means for us to have eternal life. We pray with you, please. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this table. Father, we're thankful for this reminder that we have that all that you've done for us, the love that you showed for us, Christ's willingness to go to the cross, Father, to die for our sins. Father, we're so very hopeful of the things that we know that you've promised for us. We know that you've promised an eternal home with you in heaven for those that live the righteous life. Father, help us to do that in everything that we do. We want to live according with your word. We want to be pleasing in your sight, Father. As we partake of these elements, Father, we ask you now to bless this bread, which represents the body of Christ, a reminder of those of the cruel cross that he endured, his willingness to give up his body, so that we can have a hope of that eternal life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pray with me again. Father, as we continue to give our thanks, we ask you to bless this cup, the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that Jesus shed on our behalf. As we partake of this cup, Father, help us to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made and the hope that we have through that sacrifice. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That concludes the Lord's Supper. We'll now have an opportunity to give back a portion of that that God has blessed us with. And he has blessed us with so much. So if you will, please join me in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that all that you do for us. Father, we're thankful for the blessings that you bestow upon us. Even during these difficult times, Father, you give us strength and encouragement knowing that you do provide the blessings for us in this everyday life. Father, as we are about to give back a portion of that that we've been blessed with, help us to do so cheerfully and with a giving heart, Father, knowing that the proceeds that we collect here go to providing and furthering the gospel in this community and abroad. Father, help us as we go throughout our life to be strong and confident in your word, and help us to confidently seek opportunities we have to share the gospel with others. For us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In just a minute, we'll have our closing prayer. But before doing so, I want to again say thank you to all of you for joining us this morning, and we hope in some small way that we've been able to provide some strength and encouragement to you through our worship this morning. It's Memorial Day weekend, and I remember my grandfather not talking much about World War II. What I do remember is that he left his family, and he went and he fought for his country. And for that, I can always lean back upon and look at. So for this Memorial Day, it's a time that we set aside to remember those that did offer sacrifices for this country.
Even those that may not have lost their lives still gave a lot by leaving their families and going overseas to fight for the freedoms that we have. Remember that as we go through this Memorial Day. Let's be mindful of those that are in need of our prayers. Let's continue to be mindful of our first responders as they continue to react and fight at the forefront of this pandemic. And let's hope that everybody be safe and look forward to seeing everybody in a couple of weeks. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Our Father in heaven, we're so very, very thankful for the day that you've given to us. Father, we're thankful for the word that you have for us, for the confidence that it gives to us to help us to grow our faith. Father, helping us to recognize that you are the true creator, you are the one true God, Father, and that all that we have and all that we are because of you. Father, as we go out into the world this week, help us to be seen by others, Father. Help them see the confidence that is in us, that we have the hope that you have inspired in us, Father. Through your word, that we can confidently look for and get through the struggles that may come with this life, knowing that there is something much better for those that are willing to live by faith, Father. Father, as we come to the close of this worship service, we're very thankful for this avenue of prayer that we have so that we can lift our voices up to you. Father, we're thankful for the songs that we've sung this morning, and hopefully they've been a sweet savor to you, Father. And we're also very thankful for the word that you have, for the word that we can look into and gain strength from and know that you are our God and that you are going to protect us. Father, in everything we do, we hope we bring glory and honor to your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.